Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is. Your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. Oh, man, this is a special episode. Y'all know I've been doing these entrepreneur spotlights, and this ain't one of them. this ain't that. This guy, I mean, has been going crazy from what I've been saying since I've been in Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta now for 3 years. Mm. I think I first seen him on David Shan's podcast maybe 3 years ago. This is before y'all see the big studio, the creative studio.
This was in the white room with the white background.
This is that. You get what I'm saying? CPA entrepreneur. I feel like you've been doing so much more than that now.
Yeah.
Even getting into mentoring. Mm-hmm. It's so much, and we want to get into it. And the thing that I like the most about your story that I just found out is that you have a story. As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
But Carter Cofield is in the building. What up, my brother?
How you doing, King?
Yes,
glad to be here. The setup is crazy, man. I like it.
Thank you, brother. So, yeah. I feel like I've seen you speak about your story a couple times,
mm-hmm.
But it's not the highlight and it's not at the forefront for some reason. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
My bad. I gotta get you good on the back. Let me get you right. I just remember that.
Yeah.
And Wayne will start over. We're gonna keep it going. We need to see all this, man.
Yeah, give him the sauce, man. Give him the sauce.
We need to see all this. Yeah. Let me get you right, man.
Okay.
Get you right. You
know there you go. There we go. There we go.
Light this motherfucker up. You feel me? But yeah, man. So I was talking about like your story, and I see it. I've seen it just by me doing my research, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's not. I don't feel like it's on the forefront, and I was wondering why. Like, do you feel like you talk about your story a lot?
I feel like I talk about it a decent amount, but I feel like, you know, it gets drowned out in the noise of the rest of the show because people kind of come for tax strategies. But
your show, your podcast.
Huh?
Your podcast.
Well, I mean, in any interview, you know. Okay. But I think the story is important because I feel like people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm.
And they want to know who you are as a person before they go taking your advice to do something in their own life, because they want to, I think people want to see, especially in like this day and age where like it's trust is not big right now, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? People want to know, are you taking your own advice? What have you been through? What have you accomplished before they get to taking your own advice and put it in their life?
Mm, that makes sense. So I guess we could just touch on it a little bit. At 14, your mom's passed.
Mm-hmm.
At 16, your father passed.
Yes, sir.
You working at just a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
I think your cousin come in. He's an entrepreneur at the time. He's he's like, what day is it?
Yeah.
You're like, bro, it's Tuesday. How you not know that?
Yeah.
Like, bro, when you're doing what you love, and every day is the same. And you're like, man, from that day on, you knew that you wanted to be an entrepreneur and do it yourself.
Well, I just knew there was more to life.
Mm.
I'm not going to say I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but that was the first instance that I realized that we don't have to just wake up, go work for somebody else just to make enough money to pay rent on the first and then do it all over again, right? I realized there's more to life than just working a job. And I think that when my parents passed, one thing it did a few things for me. One thing it did is it didn't allow me to take a lot of risks because I didn't have like much leeway. Like, you know, some people, like, you know, if their parents are alive, their parents can fund their lifestyle, they can kind of like, you know, take more risks because they have something to fall back on. There was no fallback plan for me. So like, I didn't have the luxury of taking a lot of risks as a young adult because I had nothing to fall back on. So it was like when my parents passed, it was like, I'm going to pursue a career in a field that has a 0% unemployment rate, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's going to need a CPA. So I even selecting what I wanted to be as a professional was based off scarcity, not based off abundance. It was mm-hmm. like, I want the most stable career I could possibly have. And so I was just like, all right, cool. Like, I'm going to just make enough money to like never have to worry about money again, because after my parents passed, we were in a financial hardship. So I was like, I want a job that I can stay employed, I can make a lot of money, bills don't be a problem. And, you know, 3-4 years into my working career, I was like, it's really all I got to look forward to. And that's the day my cousin came in my room and just hit me with the like, you know, what day of the week is. And I'm like, how don't you know what day of the week it is? He's like, bro, because I love what I do every day. So the days of the week don't matter to me. And that was such a powerful statement because I believe that you cannot be what you cannot see. Mm. And that was my first time seeing somebody who literally woke up every day and just did what he wanted to do. Mm. And I was like, yo, and it showed me what was possible. And it's, you know, a God's grace that maybe 12 years later from that story, I lose track of the day all the time because the days of the week don't matter to me because I literally wake up and do what I love to do every single day.
Mm. Yo, one thing that stood out to me when I heard you telling that story is the fact that you Googled what job is basically like never going to, like it's always needed, mm-hmm. right? And you found out on CPA because everybody always needs CPA. Mm-hmm. So you
tax is going to be due whether the economy's good, bad, left, exactly. right, center. It's going to be.
And you got it because of scarcity and not abundance. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like that abundance, those dreams, it's kind of what sets back the African American culture. Mm-hmm. And where I'm going with that is like when I went to school, mm-hmm. I went to college, I got my degree in sociology. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I love people. I love the understanding of people. Now I'm using it doing interviews a mm-hmm. little bit. But that wasn't, I always joke like, bro, my degree isn't something that I'm gonna make money in, right? And that's one thing I always tell people that's coming up in college, that my advice, I say, yo, get a degree that you can make money in leaving school. Mm-hmm. And I know for you, it's kind of like we on the opposite ends of the spectrum looking in, and we can find the good on the other side, right? So for you, you're like, man, I just did something that I could make money in. Not really dream or not fulfill some abundance. And I'm looking at it like, man, that was the smartest thing you could do.
Yeah, and I think one thing, and it's my unpopular opinion, I'm gonna say it right now. When you're starting out, right, you haven't earned the luxury to pursue your passion solely.
Come on.
Mm. Right? And what I mean, I wanna tread lightly, but I need the statement to stick because we hear a lot like, you know, pursue your past and do what you will have to do. You haven't earned that right yet, right? Like you need to solve the money problem first. And then once you solve the money problem, then you've earned the luxury to chase your passions. Don't put pressure on your passion because I promise you, if you put pressure on your passion, it's not going to be your passion very long. I didn't come out and say, I want to build a brand, travel the world, like, talk about finances, be a mentor. I didn't say that. I said, I'm going to pursue a career and something I'm good at that will make me money. Mm. Only once the money problem got solved did I have the room to start dreaming. If you're drowning, you can't dream. You know what I'm saying? So like I think that's something that we really need to like let this generation know, like pursue profits first. And once you do that, then you can focus on your passion. But don't go for the passion first. Passion will get you broke. Passion, chasing the passion at the wrong time will keep you poor. So focus on a profit first. Then the passion, you got a long time to live. The passion going to be there. And then you've earned the right to say, hey, what do I actually want to do? Like, what makes me happy? And then you can pursue it.
You know, from somebody I'm 33. You're a grown man. From grown men, that sounds good because we've been through it. Yeah. We understand how it feels to be at the bottom and not be able to dream when you broke. We understand that, right? But from a kid that's going to school and like, you know, as young, we always hear like, man, it ain't about the money, right? I just want to do it because I love it. And that'd be good until you turn 30 and it's like, yeah, that love ain't loving you back. That's how it be like with rap careers, with so many careers, you go into something because you're passionate about, because you love it.
Yeah.
But what happens when your passion not loving you back? The way you think it should love you back. Mm-hmm. Now what, do you quit?
And then you start resenting your passion because you're like, man, this is like, why ain't it panning? You get angry, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, man, why ain't it panning out the way it's supposed to? And then you start to hate the thing you said you loved. Mm. And I believe that, you know, we should still like, obviously tell our kids that they can dream and be able to do whatever you want to do. But like, you need to figure out the money. Because like, here's what I tell people all the time. Starting a business is stressful enough. You don't need to put on you don't need to add on how you're gonna pay rent next month to that stress. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard enough starting a business, hiring, firing, you know, scaling, finding customers, finding leads, doing all these things that entrepreneurs have to do. With the first of the month rolling around, you don't got to pay money, you don't got money for rent. Like, that's unnecessary pressure that you don't need to add to a plate that's already full. You know what I'm saying?
I like the fact that you were saying, when you was giving like tax advice and starting your business advice, you was basically saying like your 9-to-5 try to make you think that it's just 9-to-5. But if the same people that pay you for 9-to-5 will pay you from 5 to 9.
Yeah.
And like, I love that because it shows that And today's society is all like, quit your job, start your own business. And like, that's cool, right?
But, does not.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I like the fact that you never said this, but in my mind, again, I'm looking at it, I'm interpreting like, yo, get a job and then start a side business from your job.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like you said, then you can start paying off your personal items and things like that because you have this side business. But I'm like, yo, at least you got a job, you can pay bills. Like
yeah,
you said,
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
have to worry about yeah. the rent being paid, you can pay that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, bro. Like, people need to realize this. You go to work at 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. You got 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. That 4-hour gap before you go to work. Mm-hmm. And you got 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Another 4-hour gap after you go to work. So you got 8 hours of working your job. You got 8 hours working on yourself. And then you get 8 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. Like Jim Rohn said, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Like, stop being lazy. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you work 9 to 5 does not mean you don't have time to do the things that you said were important to you. Mm. I didn't say these things were important to you. You said starting a business was important to you. You said learning about real estate was important to you. You have a 4-hour gap before you start work and a 4-hour gap after you start work to still pursue the things you said you want to pursue and still have the comfort of your employer to pay your bills. Like, your job is your first business partner. Mm. It's allowing you to fund your dream. But don't think that just because you work now, you don't have time to start a business. That's just you being lazy. Mm. Like, when I was working 8 a.m. to, and I was working a Big Four accounting, so it was long hours. I was working 8 a.m. to maybe 10 p.m. And then I had an hour train ride from downtown Chicago back to the suburbs where I would work on my business. I would get home about 11:30 at night. I would work on my business a little bit more. I would go to sleep about midnight. I'll wake up at 7, be back at work at 8, right? And it wasn't fun, but I knew that I wanted more. And if I really said wanted, like I said I wanted it, I have to put in the work and put in the hours to do it. Mm. And like, whatever your job is paying you to do, other people will pay you to do that same thing. Like, I was going to work to be an accountant. After work, I had consultations with people being their accountant. Mm. I didn't just quit the job and say, I'm going to start this business. I quit my job when my business matched my W-2 income. Mm. Making, you know, $5,000 a month from my job. Cool. My business at $5,000 a month. Making $7,000 a month from my job. My business $7,000 a month. When I quit, it was like, okay, cool. Now my bills are still paid. And I know that my business can supplement my job. Mm. And now I don't got to worry about paying bills as I try to build this business. Mm. So
you want to you went to culture now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. No, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm curious because, bro, I want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
You lost your parents, both parents, by 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That instilled a will in you that most people don't have, a drive in you that most people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't have no excuse. You had to go get it.
And I thank God for that lesson every day.
Exactly. And they say, like, when you lose something, you gain something as well, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just trying to be careful because, like, these are your parents. Like, this ain't
no,
nothing.
Bro. Like, I mean, like, yeah. I am good on it.
But I say that to say you did gain a strength in that, right? Not having no excuses, having to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, like you said, they have these excuses. And when you're coaching, I'm wondering, like, how do you coach in a way for somebody to understand? Because it's easy for somebody that can relate to you,
mm-hmm.
be like, yeah, man, ain't no excuses. Like, yeah, man, you lost everything. I lost everything. I know how. But to somebody that don't have that in them, you feel mm-hmm. me? Like, how do you get through that? How do you convey that message?
Yeah, so losing my parents was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Mm.
And I say that wholeheartedly. And I love my mom. I love my dad. But they did their job,
mm.
right? Like, when God took them away, their job was done. You know what I'm saying? And for me, losing my parents taught me more lessons than my parents could have ever taught me being alive.
Mm.
And it strengthened me and it made me the person I am today. And again, another unpopular opinion. People that have adversity have one of the best gifts if they open the package.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, if you ask God for resilience, if you ask God for if you ask God for resilience, right, he has to give you something to show your resilience.
Mm.
If you ask God for patience, if you ask God for patience, he has to put you through things
to show that
to make you a patient person,
mm.
right? So we have to realize the thing, if we want to, the things that we say we want, what is the universe or God going to do to give us those things to make us have those personality traits? So I wanted to be a person that didn't have no excuses. I wanted to be a person that was resilient. I wanted to be a person that was determined. I wanted to be a person that was able to overcome everything. So he said, if you want to be able to overcome everything, I'm going to take your everything. Mm. To show you early on that the thing you thought you needed the most, I could take it away from you and you'll still win. Mm. And so when I'm coaching other people, when I'm helping out entrepreneurs, things like that, what I see, the people that are hardest to coach are the people that never been through anything. Because they never had to discover who they were when their back is against the wall. Mm. And so one thing I tell people, adversity is one of the best gifts that you can have if you're willing to open the package. Mm.
But how do you, because again, you have been through adversity.
Yeah.
How are you even able to take yourself out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you know through adversity to be able to coach these type of people?
Yeah, well, I think, again, I can only help people that want to be helped.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't want it more for you than you want it for yourself,
mm.
right? But I think one of the things when I coach people, I want them to understand is look back on the times in your life where you had the struggle, the strife, things you had to get over, and who did you need to become to get over that?
Mm.
And if you can get over something once, can you get over something again?
Mm.
Right? And so when things are hard and their business is not working and they want to XYZ, good. Use it. Because this is my favorite quote. I hope I don't butcher it. When things get hard, you should get happy.
Mm.
And here's what I mean by that. When you are like in the thick of it, things aren't working. You know, the money's not flowing in the way you want it to. You're working 12 hours a day. You're reading every night. You're doing all these things just to get to the place you want to get to, right? When most people are going through hardship, they're like, man, this is so hard. I can't get through it. You should get happy, because once you get through it, guess what? The person that wants to have, the person that's chasing the things that you've obtained, they have to go through that same shit too. Mm. And most people in this day and age will fold under pressure versus strive under pressure. So when things get hard for me, I tell people all the time, like, I'm so happy. Because when I get through it, the person that's chasing me, the person that wants the things I have, the person that wants my brand, the person that wants to pursue the things I want to pursue, they got to get to do that shit too. Mm. And I know if it was hard for me, it's going to be 10 times harder for them. Mm. So when things get hard, get happy, because you're separating yourself from the competition.
And also, though, I think you said this, like, when you have, like, I forgot exactly what you said, but basically, like, somebody that has nothing to lose,
mm-hmm.
right? You got everything to gain.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got everything to gain, you got nothing to lose. I mm-hmm. forgot exactly what you said, but... Yeah. To add to your point, when you're at those lowest moments, the mm-hmm. only way is up, right? And I tell people all the time, it's just like life. Like, if you understand life, you should be okay with anything that goes wrong in your life. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, bro, when it's thunderstorming and raining,
mm-hmm.
just look at the history. The history and the weather of however it happens, right? Mother Nature, we know that mm-hmm. after it rains, the sun got to come out. Mm-hmm. We know that. Same with your life. If you're going through something hard, you know that the only thing is coming next is something positive. That's just life. Like, and it might sound cliche, and I know it might, like, some people, it might be insensitive to some people, but, like, yo, you have to understand that, like, when you're going through something so traumatic, when you're going through something that hurts so bad, embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Because soon after that's over, it's going to be something that's positive to happen.
This too shall pass.
Mm-mm-mm. That's a fact.
This too shall pass. And you just have to stay steady in the storm. And remember, if you're praying for flowers, it has to rain. You know what
Come
I'm saying?
On, man.
Like, it has to rain.
It got to.
It has to rain. So, and that, I think this comes from perspective. And I think perspective is another gift that once you obtain, it will help you get further in life. Like, dude, every bad things happen. Like, think about this. Think about some of the problems you had when you thought you had at 21. You laugh at those problems. You wish you had those problems today.
Man. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, 10 years from now, you're going to be laughing at the problems you're saying you have today, because they're going to be so small and minuscule. So just understand that problems create perseverance and you get stronger every day. Problems will never stop. You just become more equipped to handle them.
Mm, that's fire. That's a bar. Yo, I wanted to talk to you about your time spent in in the financial sector of the business, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You've been doing this for how long exactly?
I've been a CPA for going on 11 years. So, yeah, man.
Okay, 11 time. Years. I yeah. love that. In today's society, I think post-pandemic, so many people praise the, man, I made $1 million and only been doing this for 6 months, a year. And I'd be like, I don't know if that motivate me, bro. I ain't gonna lie, because like, I've been doing this for a minute. Y'all might not have seen me.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I appreciate about you, because even like 3 years ago when I seen you on a David Shane's mm-hmm. interview with the white backdrop, right? Mm-hmm. I could tell that you've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have a lot of, and this is no knock against our pandemic successes, but mm-hmm. we had a lot of people who got successful after the, or during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that, and the first thing that popped out was like, oh, he been doing this. He not just a
pandemic preneur.
Yeah, he not just a pandemic preneur. Like, and I was wondering, like, your thought process on that.
I believe a blessing too early is not a blessing at all.
Mm.
What I mean by that is, I know personally a lot of people who ran it up in a pandemic. Good for them, right? Amazing. Them same people who ran up in a pandemic are struggling now because they don't understand what it takes to actually build a real business.
Mm.
And what it takes to actually be an entrepreneur. Like, if you come into entrepreneurship and your first experience is everything going right, when things get wrong, what happens?
Mm.
Now you don't know how to overcome adversity. Because when you decided to become an entrepreneur, everything went up. So I think that it was cool. Like, you know, like people ran it up. I'm seeing now a lot of people are getting out of the space because it's no longer easy.
Mm.
And so I'm grateful that I was an entrepreneur before, I was an entrepreneur during, and I'm an entrepreneur after. And I think that what's happening right now in the space is that people are getting, people are getting sifted out of the space who probably didn't really belong here in the first place. Mm. And I believe it's good, especially for our culture, because now, due to those people who weren't who they say they were, and again, I don't think they were bad people, I think they just didn't understand how business worked. They didn't set up this infrastructure and systems to be able to fulfill on the promises they said they were going to fulfill because they didn't have a team, they didn't have a back office, they didn't have things actually going for them. So I think that now we have, there's a big distrust in the space of coaching, online education, because so many people weren't who they say they were. But I think what's good right now is that people are getting sifted out, and now the people who are going to stay are, number one, going to take a lot of market share, and number two, are going to reinstill the trust in the people that they should have in the first place from the online educators.
Wow. But, I mean, we can't ignore that. The pandemic, it definitely helped with the business, right?
Oh, business was good. And it is good. You know what I'm saying? And it is good. But, like, as an actual business owner, you understand the ebbs and flows of a business. So you're like, okay, I'm going to ride this, but I don't expect it to stay this easy for this long.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And one thing that people didn't do was, shout out to my dog, Kenny Conwell. He say, when the money is good to you, be good to the money.
Oof.
And when the money was good to people in 2020, they weren't being good to the money. They weren't investing the money. They weren't taking care of the money. They weren't watching their money. They were spending their money. And now they've created a lifestyle that they can't maintain because they weren't good to the money when the money was good to them.
Wow.
One thing that I can say, and my team and the people around me, like, we were good to the money when the money was good to us. Hmm. So now that things aren't as easy, doesn't matter, because we took care of the money when we had it.
Wow. How do we be good to the money, so to say, in these times?
Stop letting your money be lazy. And what I mean by that is, like, you want your money to work hard, as hard for you as you do for it.
Mm.
So with inflation at all-time high, 6%, and interest rates at all-time high, we can't afford to just sit our money in a bank account anymore, bro. Like, we have to find ways to invest our money, whether it's into the stock market, whether it's into real estate, or whether it's into ourselves. Because shout out to Alex Hormozi. He said before taking money and invest it in the S&P 500, take that money and invest it in the S&P 500. Yeah. And I'm like, that was a bar. Still in that, Alex. Yeah, one more time. I'm taking credit for it. But I think we just have to, like, watch our money and make sure we employ it. Because if we don't, inflation will erode it.
Mm. Yo, I wanted to, me doing these interviews, and I've been doing them for quite some time now.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I overlook the small things because I'm trying to go for the big conversation, trying to go for the deepest of moments, right?
Yeah.
And I think of you in a similar way, because you talk about taxes, like how to write off things, how to have your money work for you so much,
mm-hmm.
right? I feel like you, like, the expert at that shit, right? But I'm curious, right? I kind of want to challenge you a little bit.
Okay.
What are some of the things that you think you overlook? And I'm better question. Let's start. What are some of the mistakes that a first-time entrepreneur make when getting into the business? So before we get to the hacks and you can get 120,000 credit for the, you know what I'm saying? Like, before we get into that, right? And we're talking to the people that might not be millionaires. You talk to a lot of millionaires, right?
Yeah.
But somebody that's first-time into this entrepreneurship thing, what do you think they overlook or they misstep on the most?
The point of getting into business is to make money. And what I mean by that is, people come to me like, man, how can I save on taxes? You ain't made no money yet. Mm. So, like, I think the common misconception is people want to start businesses for tax write-offs, but, like, they business ain't making no money. And you can't write off things if your business doesn't have income. Mm. So I think the biggest thing I see is people forget that the point of entrepreneurship, the point of starting a business, is to make money first. Mm. So go, like, you don't have a tax problem, bro, until you have a money problem. Mm. And if you ain't solved the money problem yet, go solve the money problem and then come to me and then I'll help you save it. But if you ain't got no money, I can't do nothing for you.
I think I don't know if it was Wall Street Trap or somebody talking about this, because I've was a victim of that as well, and I'll explain. You get these LLCs, or you get this LLC, and talking about these tax write-offs, and this might be a little different, but if you have so many tax write-offs, what it's telling the government is you ain't make no money.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you're trying to get money from other people, right? I don't want to give you no money because if I look at your documents, you ain't make no money. So yeah, you ain't had to pay taxes, nothing like that. Yeah, cool. You got away with it.
Yeah.
But now when you're trying to get funding, you can't get funded because your papers show that you ain't make no money.
Break it down for me. Why would I trust you with my money if you can't be trusted with your money?
But I made money, bro. I just finessed the government. Help me out. Like,
well, yeah, no, for sure.
What's more important?
And first of all, you don't have to choose. You can have both, right? There are certain tax deductions that get added back to your income when loan times come, right? And that main deduction is depreciation. So depreciation is a tax write-off that when you file taxes, it wipes out your income. But when you go apply for a loan, they add it back to your income. Mm. So you can have the best of both worlds in the same year.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So for example, if you were to purchase a vehicle for your business, right? And your business actually makes money, guys. Let's not forget that. Make money in the business. But you used to purchase a vehicle. Let's say it's a $100,000 vehicle, right? And you financed it. Didn't have to put no money down. This year, if the vehicle weighed over a certain amount, you would get to write off 60% of the value of the vehicle. So if the vehicle costs $100,000, you get a $60,000 deduction for depreciation. When you go to apply for funding, they will add that $60,000 back to your income for your application approval, because they understand that depreciation is not an actual expense, because you'd have to actually pay money to get that deduction. So they're going to say, since the money didn't come out of your account for this deduction, we're going to add it back. Mm. Same thing for real estate. When you purchase a real estate property, you get to depreciate the value of your real estate property. Even if your property goes up in value, the government will give you a tax deduction as if it goes down in value because it has wear and tear. So, for example, you might buy a $100,000 property, and if you implement certain strategies, you can write off 30% of that. You can depreciate 30% of the property in year one. So you will get a $30,000 deduction for the depreciation of your property. That deduction will get added back to your tax return. So if you find the right deductions, you can lower your income so you don't have to pay taxes, but you can still get approved for loans at the same time.
Sheesh, that's a game.
So you don't have to pick either or.
Okay, so you can have both.
You can have both. Yeah.
Okay. Yo, you was talking about, before we got started, you was talking about you about to build a studio and you about to get another spot or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, crazy. Yeah.
And I was curious about that because you could like write that off if you got a studio in your home.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm moving into a two-bedroom penthouse in Dallas, Texas, right?
So you're moving there?
Yeah.
This isn't just for content?
No, I'm moving there. Yeah. But like strategically, right? So I'll give you the whole play. And I'll give you real numbers too. The apartment is going to be about $8,000 a month, right? And I'm going to live there, but I'm also going to build a content studio in the same apartment, right? What most people would do, they would move into the apartment, they would live in the master bedroom, right? And then they would turn the secondary bedroom into the studio. What I'm going to do, I'm going to turn the master bedroom to the podcast studio, and I'm going to live in the secondary bedroom because it doesn't matter because the whole apartment is mine. Mm-hmm. But the bigger the space that you dedicate to business, the bigger the deduction, right, that you get. So, for example, the master bedroom represents about 30% of the apartment. So because I'm turning the master bedroom into 100% business use, 30% of my apartment is now represented by my business. Mm. So now I'm going to be able to write off 30% of the $8,000 every single month via the home office deduction because I'm turning majority of my apartment into business use.
Wow.
So if we take 8,000 times 30%, that means that I'm going to write off $2,400 per month times 12. I'm going to get that $28,800 tax deduction for turning a piece of my apartment into a content studio.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then I'm also going to be able to deduct all the money it's going to cost to build out the studio. It's probably going to cost like $15,000 to $20,000 to build out the studio with the right cameras and the right lighting and all that stuff. That $20,000 is also going to be tax deductible in my business as well.
Wow.
So I'm going to probably, to build a content studio in my apartment, the IRS is probably going to give me a $48,000 write-off for doing so.
Yo, you know what's funny about that? Because, and now I'm going to get into my selfish questions.
It might get more interesting.
So the crazy thing about that is going through this journey, and I'll get a little vulnerable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to bring people into your space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, and then you want to have your own studio. You want to pull up looking like Big Dog.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Things don't work out that way, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like more people need to know that because that make me feel better about my situation, to be honest. Because now it's like, oh, so this can be a benefit on multiple ways.
Yeah.
Saving money and getting tax deductions.
Yes.
But I never thought about it like that. I'm thinking about perception because I'm just being real. We want to build this brand. It's perception. That's how we get lost in that.
Real talk, you know what changed my mind? Wallow and Gilly.
Mm.
Have you ever been to their... Okay.
I haven't.
Okay, so...
I know you have, though.
So it changed the game for me. I mean, obviously, I knew the tax benefits, right, of building a studio in your own apartment because you get to write off where you live, and that's dope. But, dude, like, I went to their studio. They record in the same grandma house they used to live in when they was a shorty.
Wow.
And it's just a regular crib in Philly, and... the back room is their podcast studio, which way they generated tens of millions of dollars. And guess what? They had Kevin Hart in that studio. They had Jim Jones in that studio. They had Brent Faiyaz, some of the biggest artists in the world were okay recording in a studio in a grandmama house.
Wow.
So like, it just changed my thought of like of the perception. I don't gotta try to flex for the people. If they really rock with me and they really wanna do my show, they gonna do the show.
Mm.
They gonna do the show. So like watching Wallow and Gilly do it, I was like, oh, okay. I don't have to go invest unnecessary money in a new studio build out unless I'm super ready to do so.
Mm.
And so that gave me the peace of mind and clarity I needed.
I wanna say thank you because that just helped me out. And because even, and I talk for the smaller creators or whatever, when you don't have the name, you want everything to be, it's like you want to do more
mm-hmm.
because you want people to pull up and say, wow, you want people to pull up and be like, okay, it's worth it. Or I don't feel bad for coming here. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the fact that you said like Gilly and Wallow did it and I'm like, mm-hmm. you naming people, I'm like, cause I'm thinking, man, I can't have a Jay-Z or whoever. I can't have a Brent Faiyaz walking mm-hmm. here. But now, like you said, like if they rock with you, they're going to rock with you regardless.
Yeah, yeah. Well, focus on you until the focus is on you, bro.
Ooh.
Like, real talk. And I think, real talk, we can get deep on this. It's a stigma of imposter syndrome. So, like, because...
Wait. Hold up. Keep going.
Yeah. No, real talk. Because, like, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe your show is good or you don't believe that
You've earned the right to have some people in your studio. You're going to spend unnecessary money to do something because to make you feel more validated as a person, which is why in our culture, we have people buying watches and jewelry and whatever to overstimulate for the fact that they're not confident or they don't really have they don't really have it the way that you think they have it. So they're going to buy things to fake it until they make it. So Jay Hill was like, you have all the confidence in you and you know you the man and you know you have one of the best shows out here. You know you put in the work. You've been doing this for years. The studio don't matter because you've worked on yourself so much and you've worked on your show so much that people are going to pull up regardless.
I don't know. I want to argue this, but I can't because you make so much sense. So me, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just like perfectionist. I wanted to look a certain way because yeah. My content look a certain way and I got to live up to the standard.
Yeah.
But that makes so much sense, bro. And it's like, I never thought that if you ask me, I ain't have no imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
But maybe so, because clearly if you care that much about what somebody else think when they come in, then how confident are you?
And just to not leave you on a boat, I still have imposter syndrome, bro. And I've been doing what I've been doing for 11 years.
Damn.
Because it's just a matter of wanting more, right? I feel like if you don't suffer from a little bit of imposter syndrome, I feel like you just don't care enough about getting to the next level because as you grow, you're going to still compare yourself to where you want to be. Mm. And you're here. Where you want to be is here. This gap is the imposter syndrome because you ain't there yet. You know, and it's okay because you want excellence. Now, if you were comparing yourself to who you used to be, there wouldn't be no imposter syndrome because you don't want more. Mm. Cool. And the way you get over imposter syndrome is by putting in the work to feel so confident. Like on my way over here, bro, I was still studying on my way over here, different tax strategies because I didn't know what we were gonna talk about. And I refused to not have an answer. So I think if you don't suffer from imposter syndrome a little bit, I don't think you care enough.
Yo, that's crazy. I think I was talking to my daughter and I was asking what she danced and she was like, she's nervous. This is a while ago. And I'm like, that's good. Because when you care about something so much, you should be nervous.
You should.
Right? Because shit, bro, I done podcast. I need a million of these. I ain't gonna lie. I got 1,000 videos on my YouTube. No exaggeration. Probably 1,100. No exaggeration, bro. I still get nervous sometimes on conversation because I know I study for it. I prepare for it. And I want my work to be present on camera. Mm-hmm. I want you to know that, man, this nigga.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I be nervous. Yeah. Damn, but I never thought about it like that. Imposter syndrome. Damn, bro. When the last time you think you felt it?
Okay. Yeah. So I feel it right now. Because in our company, in our financial advising and tax company, we want to serve a higher end client, right? Because we've been working with entrepreneurs, you know, six figures, and now we want to work
with higher end client. Because you talk to a lot of millionaires.
We want 7 to 8 figure clients, right?
Okay.
To bring more value. So I'm like, okay, I had to talk to myself. I said, if somebody's making $10 to $15 million a year, do you have what it takes to really talk to give that person good advice? If somebody's making so it was a challenge for me. And this is recent, right? Because me and my business partner talk about it all the time. Like, all right, we wanna work with some higher tier clients. And who do we have to be to attract those clients? And so now it's making me get back in my bag and get back into my knowledge to be like, all right, well, I have the strategies to help six-figure entrepreneurs. I have the strategies to help seven-figure entrepreneurs. But what happens if an eight-figure entrepreneur comes to me and say, hey, Carl, I need help with saving on taxes and building my investments and building an estate plan? Do I have what it, and I had to talk to my partner. I said, bro, I don't know. And me and him had a real conversation. Bro, I know who you are. He said, I see more in you than you see in yourself. You got this. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm going through it right now, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, I think that, again, if you're not chasing more, then you won't have this problem.
That got to feel good, though. But not to interrupt the story. Yeah. The fact that you have somebody that's on your team.
Yeah.
Somebody can call a friend and be like, bro, I see more in you than you see in yourself.
Yes. I have a phenomenal business partner. We actually joined our companies together. So I had my accounting firm. He had a financial advising firm. And we combined to create our company, Melanin Money, where we have a podcast. We have classes, but we also have a service-based company. Mm-hmm. So when people come to us, they can learn or they can just hire their financial advisor, their tax expert, their insurance agent, their estate planner, all in one company. Mm-hmm. And so the people that need these all-in-one services are 7 to 8 figure entrepreneurs. So I have to become the person that's able to serve them. And it's been a whirlwind, but again, it's been fun to get
back into like studying again?
Bro, I got so many questions, and I apologize if like we gonna get to the taxes though. Like,
bro, like whatever.
Because
like,
I'm just curious, bro. Yeah. When it comes to like doing taxes for all of these millionaires, right? Mm-hmm. Again, I think I represent a certain part of the world where like the non-believers slash people like. I'm from the hood, and yeah. I ain't never seen...
Me too. Southside Chicago, bro.
Yeah. I come to Atlanta. I'm fresh in Atlanta. Yeah. So I'm new to all these entrepreneurs, successful black people.
Yeah.
And it's still a part of me that's skeptical. Like, y'all niggas is full of shit, right? But I know it's real, because I'll be hanging around like... I see it. I'll be like, okay, this might be real.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I say that to say, how much of it is cap? And you would know. You don't have to say no names.
Yeah.
But like, it's so many... Like, I commented on a video like, everybody in Atlanta, millionaire. Like, yeah, like yeah. bro...
Here's what I'll say. They are millionaires. How much they keep
okay.
is different. Like, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you keep. And we've seen underneath the hood of some high-level entrepreneurs, and we're like, yo, like...
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Okay, I see what the top line revenue says, but I'm seeing that, you know, it's a negative at the bottom. Like, what's going on? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and again, it's back to the thing that people have, when the money is good to you, you have to be good to the money.
Mm.
And some people are maintaining a lifestyle they shouldn't try to be maintaining right now because they were making a lot of money back in 2021, but 2024, they have the same expenses, but the money is different. Mm. And so we have to consult and coach those clients on like, hey, like this is the financial plan that you need to do if you want this money to sustain, right? Like this is the type of like you need to treat your investment account like you treat your expense account. Just like rent is doing on the first of the month and your car note that Lamborghini is doing the first, all that. This investment, the contribution that we agreed to at the top of the year, we're not going to stop that. If we invest in $20,000 a month into this account so you can save on taxes and build your net worth, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to say like, I don't want to do that this month, but you okay with paying for the Lamborghini? No. Like you have to understand that like treat your investments like a bill and they will take care of you. If you treat your, like we can't neglect the necessary, and investing is not something that is an option. It is absolutely necessary. So a lot of people are making the money, but like how much they keep, a different story.
And them investment, that's on a high end and a low end.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah
even
yeah.
for somebody that's not, maybe not $100
a month. If you committed to investing $100 a month, that is a commitment and that is a bill. I want you to look at it just like the same way you wouldn't like not pay your phone bill.
Yeah.
Don't not invest that $100 a month into your Roth IRA or whatever. Like, do you have to do that?
But how do we get to a point where we are able to do that though, bro? Because we can barely afford rent nowadays. You feel me? So like you talking about investing shit.
Yeah.
It's necessary. Like it has to, it's mandatory. I barely got enough to pay rent.
And what my initial thought is, well, okay, well, what do we need to give up in order to go up? Are you willing to take a step back in social status to take a step forward in financial status?
Come on, man.
That's the conversation we got to have, right? Because, like, and Alex Omozi says this, like, everybody's going to die. Mm. Like, the what people think of you now, 10 years from now, you're not probably not even going to know those people. So if you have to, like, take a step back in life and give up the car or give up going out and whatever to sustain your investing, then that's what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? And like, what are you willing to cut off in order to take off? You might have to cut out drinking. You might have to cut out Netflix. You have to, like, I'm no excuse person. So like, it's just like, yo, like we got to figure it out. In real talk, like for us, and cause I don't want to give this advice without given my own experience, because I want people to know I'm talking to myself through them. I had a conversation with my business partner the other day. I said, look, bro, the way these expenses is going right now, like we have to chill on some things. because I refuse to not be able to make a reinvest into the business or make the investments that we have to make. Like, that's not an option. So if that means we got to like cut back on something or look at payroll, like we got to figure it out. We're not going to do is be so in our own ego not to cut back on expenses to do the things that that are mandatory for the business.
This is good, bro. This is way better than I expected. Yo, when did being a millionaire, because we talk about cut back on a social status, right, to build our financial status. I feel like, honestly, in 2024, being a millionaire is kind of like a mass, a.k.a. a social status now. When did being a millionaire become a social status more than it became about being financially free? As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
Or do you feel like it is, though?
I think, respectfully, people need to stop looking at $1 million as a lot of money. Because $1 million is not a lot of money anymore. I mean, it's more money than most people have, but like it's if $1 million is your only goal, I aspire you to dream bigger.
Okay. So let me ask you, not $1 million, being a millionaire. I feel like being a millionaire is nowadays, it seems not for me. I ain't get there yet. But at one point in time, the conversation was about six figures, right? $100,000 a year. Like, that was the conversation. But in Atlanta, I see, like, $100,000 ain't shit.
Can I give you my first experience, bro? Like, I want to make sure I let the people know. Because, like, again, real talk, like, I did not become a millionaire before, like, coming to Atlanta and seeing the millionaires. Because I didn't. You can't be what you can't see. Yeah. I didn't know it was possible. Yeah. I'm like, yo, like $1 million, whatever. Like, I came to a conference in Atlanta in 2020. It was a Circle of CEOs first conference. David Shands was interviewing Neo, Him500, and all them on stage. I never forget this, bro. This reshaped my perspective on money. He was like, yo, like, you know, I start hanging out with y'all. He was, Shans was talking to Neo, and he was like, I start hanging out with y'all. And I remember, you know, texting y'all like, man, I had my first six-figure month, right? And then they text back like, bro, you good? Like, do you need some help? They were concerned. They were like, yo, like, you need, like, lights on? Like, you need some help? Like, we got you if you need something. And he said it jokingly, but, like, it reframed the way I think about money. I said, is there a world where making six figures a month is like, is emergency mode? Meaning like you, the lights might not be on. And that again, reshaped my thinking. I was like, oh, they play a different game. Like, they look at money different. And I think, at least for me, when you see something as being unattainable, you can never attain it. So the moment I stop looking at $1 million as being a lot of money, just walk right past it. But while it was still an unfathomable thought, I was like, well, I can't get there. But what helped me is hanging around people that were making millions and millions of dollars. And I was like, and I'm adopting their belief. They're like, yeah, man, like $1 million, like they try to do $1 million a month. And I'm like, oh, okay, so $1 million no longer a lot of money. And then it is able to happen. So I would just encourage anybody, and I'm not trying to say this to not be relatable, but I'm saying it worked for me. When the moment I stopped thinking that $1 million was a lot of money, it became so much more attainable. And I think that people are able to do that, whether it's $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million, just whatever your goal is, hang around people that make your goal look small. And it'll be more attainable for
but
you.
But I can't get around these people, Carter. It sounds easy, right? You was in Atlanta. You was able to get around these people because of whatever you was doing, you was successful. But
I paid to get around these people, first of all.
There we go.
Talk about that.
Okay.
All right, I paid to get around these people because, and like, that's the thing, like, people are who are at a higher level than you, they have more to lose by hanging with you than they have to gain by hanging with you. So you have to put it in their best interest or make it a positive narrative for them to want to hang out with you. And whatever you have to offer, you have to find a way to offer it. All I had was a credit card and some money that I was like, all right, well, if I haven't earned the right to be your friend, let me pay to be around you until I earn the right to be your friend. And that's the way I look at things, because I feel like if you have enough money to solve a problem, you don't have a problem. So So that's how I got around these people. And I know it's hard, but like people say like, oh, I'll have the money. Well, figure out what can you offer? Do you have a platform? Mm. Like, you have to add value to these people. They're not going to hang around you because if the narrative of you are the five people you hang around, if they let somebody they're millionaires, they let somebody that's making $100,000 hang around, they're dropping. Yeah. So you have to like, what can I do to make it worth their while? Mm. So
even on a higher level, mm-hmm. I'm asking this, and I'm gonna go back to my question, but now I'm being selfish again.
Yeah, it's your show, bro. But like, you get to do this.
Even on a higher level, you have to do that because, like, now, like, where I'm at, right, I feel like a lot of people that I hang around is people that I'm trying to help out. Mm-hmm. And now that you said that, it's like, I have access to other people. Like, David Shannon's, like, a friend of mine. I could call him a friend. Mm-hmm. But we be joking on his show. He's like, man, how often do you call me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I saw that.
I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, man, I'm building my own thing.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's almost necessary for me to hang around.
There's no almost. Take that almost out. It is absolutely necessary for you to hang out with those people that you have access to.
In my mind, I'm like, I'm building mine, but I'm trying to help the people on the ground as well. But like you said, I hate to have this conversation, but people that get it, they get it. Mm. That's bringing my stock down, even though I'm trying to help them. Mm-hmm. When I have access to a whole nother atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I need to invest in that. Mm-hmm. And it don't have to be, it could be time, it could be money, whatever. I'm like, damn, I never even think about it like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like you have to be selfish to succeed. And then once you succeed, you can go back and help the people that you want to help. Mm. Right? Like, I believe in a 33% model, right? You spend 33% of your time with people who are on a higher level than you. You spend 33% of your time with people who are on your level, and then you spend 33% of the time with people who you're lifting up, right? Mm. And you can just divide that. You can spread it out evenly. I did not take my own advice. I said, I'm going to spend 100% of the time with people that are doing better than me because I want to get there faster. Like, I don't have the time to get rich slow. I want to get rich fast because the quicker you get to your dream life, the longer you get to enjoy it. So I spent 80 to 100% of my time with people that were doing better than me. And then once I became close to their level or became a prominent figure, then I was able to pull the people up that were beneath me. But how many times have you tried to help a friend out? They didn't take your advice. And you're like, bro, what are you doing? It's because you haven't, and this is, I'm talking to me, I hadn't got the results that were good enough to make them take my advice seriously.
I'm about to leave. Oh my God. Bro, you hit the nail on the coffin. And it'd be like, okay, so you're gonna listen to, I'm saying the same thing, but they don't see you at.
If Barack Obama called them up and gave them some advice, they would take it and run with it. Mm. If you gave them some advice, they would do it because you haven't become the person that puts the urgency under them to make them do what you say. Mm-hmm. So, me, I had to spend more time becoming a person of stature so that what I say matters.
You snapping, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's the advice for everybody. You want to help the people around you? Become so big that any word that you tell them, they take as fact. Mm. Because Elon Musk can say something and then a homeless man can say something. They can say the same thing.
Same thing.
But you're going to take Elon Musk's advice because who he is.
Damn, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit, bro. That's crazy. All right. Going back to the mask thing. Do you think that, because I personally think that being a millionaire nowadays, it's definitely like, it's more of a mask or a social structure or a social construct than it is financial. Mm-hmm. I feel like, especially with the branding, it's like, again, I don't know how much people really make it. I don't.
Yeah,
I feel like people brand that millionaire thing or multi-millionaire thing as if like this is a status quo type thing. And I was wondering your perspective on that.
So I think the moment I started looking at net worth over revenue. Let me explain. For real status, right? Because that's what the wealthy people hold themselves to. If you consider yourself to be a millionaire because you made $1 million, you could spend $2 million on ads and make $1 million and be broke and be $1 million in the hole. Mm-hmm. So I think that the millionaire status is holding a lot of people back because, again, I'm behind the hood of these businesses. Some people are making, like, you know, make $1.5 million, but if you're spending $1 million on ads, you only have $500,000 left to run your business, and now you only keep like $100,000. So you're a millionaire and you're trying to live like a millionaire, but you're only really taking home $100,000 to $200,000 of that $1.5 million business. Mm-hmm. But when you start looking at net worth, which is how much investments you have minus the debt that you have, that is true millionaire status. Meaning I have $1 million of assets that I can liquidate if I want to, and I have $1 million in cash, mm-hmm. right? So once I start shifting my mindset from I want $1 million of net worth versus $1 million in income, it really changed the narrative for me. And I would encourage people, like, that should be the new millionaire goal. Like, not $1 million in revenue, not $1 million in income, $1 million in net worth, meaning that if you were to leave today, your family will have $1 million to separate with them amongst each other when you pass away.
Wow, I like that. Okay, so I can ask you about how to save money on taxes. Mm-hmm. I can do that. You get what I'm saying? But I want to speak to my people specifically.
No, this is, I'm having a great time right now.
I want to ask you, when you do people taxes,
uh-huh.
where are some of the missed opportunities that you see the most? Where is people spending their money the most where they can cut back on? Mm-hmm. Like, specifically, we see people say food, right? Mm-hmm. We see people spend a crazy, egregious amounts of money on food.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Like, what are you seeing on people tax?
Profit and loss statements?
Yeah, profit and loss statements where somebody might not be a millionaire, right? Somebody might be a regular average Joe, and they like, man, I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things you could look and be like, well, you actually do have it, and you're spending it here? What are some of those things that you're seeing? Or have you not done regular people taxes in a long time?
That's the real right there. That's the real. So I can't give you, I don't think it would be as helpful for me to give the things that people can cut back on. But I can say the people's returns I look at now that are making a lot of money, I can tell you what they're spending on that allow them to make the money.
I like that.
Right? So number one, believe it or not, is personal development or training for them and their teams. So people at the highest level are still investing in education, period. Like, it might not be the typical mentor that we see in the Black community, but they're, like, investing in, like, a one-hour call with Grant Cardone is $100,000. I know that because I seen it on somebody's tax return. You know what I'm saying? And they're investing crazy amounts of money and information. Like, they need to get the answer fast. And they understand that life will always charge you more tomorrow for what you don't know today.
You're going crazy, bro.
No, I'm seeing it. Fact, and yeah. I'm like, yo, and like they're doing whatever it takes to collapse time from what they don't know to what they do know. And if I give anybody any advice from people returning, I see 6 figures, 7 figures, 8 figures, they're always investing in information or answers that will take their business to another stratosphere. That's number one. Number two, marketing and advertising. People don't know you. They can't flow you. We know that. And one thing my mentor said, shout out to Myron Golden, it's reshaped the way I look at advertising. He's, you know, people like, you know, we're always like, I want to find more customers. I want to be able to like, I need to like find more clients. He said, instead of spending all your time trying to find clients, why don't you spend more time making yourself more findable?
Mm.
And so like they're investing in advertising and investing in brand building. So they're investing in podcasts. They're going to other people's podcasts. They're building their own podcast, which is why we're building a studio. Because like if you are the most well-known, you'll get paid the most. Mm. So there are a lot of high earners are investing in marketing, advertising, and social media teams to build their own brand. Those are the two, like, top two things I'm seeing on people's profit and loss statements.
Or, you know, it's crazy because that makes me think about the missed opportunities. Because like I'm always, you seen, you came in here, I just give you the game. Like, you feel me? Yeah, but like everybody always be like, bro, you need to start a mentoring program or a coaching. And it's like, bro, I really just tell people like.
Yeah. That's good though. You're getting practice. Right? And I think that, real talk, one of the worst things you can do is try to monetize something you haven't mastered. And what happened in 2020, people were just like literally buying people's courses, consuming it and then charging people to regurgitate something they just learned last week. We don't do that. So I think the fact that you've waited this long and you've decided to master your craft of, podcasting and content, all that, like now when you do decide to start teaching, you're going to actually be good at what you decide to start teaching. You're going to actually be able to help people get results because you didn't try to monetize something you haven't mastered yet.
Mm. And you know what else I think about now, that you said that it's different between knowing it and being able to teach it. And I learned this from Shane. I think he might have said this one time, but like, because like I could do this in my, like not even exaggerating, yeah. Bro. This is so easy. Yeah. Like, I can do this in my sleep. I've been doing it for so long. Way before I came to Atlanta, people just getting to know me in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But it's a difference between knowing how to do it and being able to teach somebody how to do it. And that's what really separates you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I never think, even when you said it, like it's good because it's not about, we ain't talking about, I don't want people to get lost in translation. It ain't just mastering being able to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just been mastering knowing how to do the lights and, mm-hmm. and the cameras and all that, but mastering how to present it, yeah. how to teach it, yeah. so somebody can get the results.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. It takes mastery. And that's what you should master before you try to monetize, because just like if you was on a basketball court, you might be at a hoop, but teaching somebody how to do the move that you just did, he's like, just do the move, bro. I just did it. Just do it. Like, yeah. it doesn't work like that when you're teaching. You know what I'm saying? You have to do this first. Oh, the left hand is not strong, so we have to build up the left hand because the crossover requires them to do the hezi with the left first, and they haven't mastered that.
And it's crazy because that's what separates, like, great players from great coaches. Mm-hmm. I was watching, Shannon Sharpe said this not too long ago. He's like, a lot of times the GOATs, mm-hmm. have a hard time coaching because when somebody doesn't do something as well as them, it's like, bro, why can't you just get it?
Just do
that,
it.
That came easy. Like, yeah. do it. And it's like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot of times people fail because, like, you think people... Talking about imposter syndrome, but another way of that is... What's the word I'm looking for? People don't see the greatness in themselves. Mm-hmm. In themselves. And where I'm going with this is, when you don't see the greatness in yourself, you're unable to teach others. And what I'm going to is, like, for example, this is how I had a problem with this. Because I look at what I do as regular,
mm-hmm.
when I'm trying to teach it to somebody else, I'm saying it in a language they don't understand. Because for me, I don't see the greatness in myself. But if I understood how great I was at what I did, mm-hmm. then I will understand that I need to break this down because everybody can't get this. Like you said, when you go through the pain, right?
Mm.
And you feel good because you're like, yeah, y'all got to go through this too. Yeah. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
You feel me? But you understand that it was something in me that got me through that fire.
Right.
I know everybody don't got that.
Yeah.
Same with whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, yo, I know that, man, I got to this point because I was great.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm teaching somebody, I'm able to go from A to Z because I understand that you might not have what I had in me, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. I think the saying is, it's impossible to read the label from inside the jar, mm-hmm. right? And when you're naturally great at something, because you're naturally great at it, is the reason why you don't know that you're great at it, because mm-hmm. it came so easy to you. And mm-hmm. we as human beings associate things that come easy as things that like and are not of value. So mm-hmm. because I'm able to easily make complex financial topics easy for people to understand, like, I thought shit was easy. But other people can't do that. And our greatest gifts are often the things that we either ignore the most or don't realize because it came easy to us, and it but it won't come easy to other people. So that's why we say, if you want to like learn how to like, if you like want to start a business and you don't know what to start, the question to ask yourself, what comes easy to you that's hard to others? Period.
How would you know that though?
You gotta like do some self-discovery. Entrepreneurship is the best self-reflection and discovery journey you'll ever take.
Let's talk about that, bro. I'm scared of entrepreneurship.
Okay.
So I'll tell you this.
Okay, talk about it.
So listen, bro. I feel like I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, right?
Yeah.
Unconsciously, bro. I swear.
Uh-huh.
I've always had like dead-end jobs.
Uh-huh.
So like, even like when I first started hosting on a mic at parties, I would have jobs to pay my bills.
Yeah.
But my focus would be on what I love to do.
Yeah.
So that would cause me to get fired a lot, quit a lot, and things like that.
Mm.
But I didn't know that I was an entrepreneur. I say that to say, this is my first year coming up there, like I haven't had no job this entire year, right? Like my podcast been, oh my God, This is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. Whatever. But like, it's the first time like my podcast been paying my bills. But it gets extremely scary at times. And like, I never asked for this. I never want to be, like, people look at me like, man, he independent podcast. Like, he did it. Bro, I won't get a job at a radio station. You have no idea. Like, I don't know how I got into this position. Yeah. I don't want to be that person that's, like, I don't want to be the poster child for independent podcast.
Right.
don't want to be that. But somehow I landed in this position. But it made me realize that, yo, I've always been this, but that's why I could never keep a job.
Yeah.
How do you recognize when you meant to be in the position that you probably don't want to be in?
I mean, I don't think it's not. First of all, I feel that wholeheartedly, right?
Do you?
I do.
You've been an entrepreneur forever.
No, but I didn't know I was gonna be who I am now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on? Like, I'd be waking up like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But I just like you just end up things end up started working out. Like, again, you didn't just say I'm a podcast tomorrow and quit your job. You've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
This is the first year you say I'm going all in, right? I'm going all in on my dream. I'm going all in.
Not like, purpose, not intentionally.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. Real talk. If you don't, God will push you through doors you are afraid to walk through.
You wilding, bro. That's what happened. And then you try, like, I tried to get
you. No, cut it off. You're done.
I tried, bro.
God will push you through doors you're afraid to walk through, and you'll start seeing it. Like, you'll start like, why I can't this man, like, what's going on? And then it just happens, right? And I think that we just have to be like, your time is gonna come whether you're ready or not. Right? If your time comes and you're ready, it will promote you. If your time comes and you're not ready, it will expose you. So your time came where it was like, I have to go all in. But guess what? You had already put in the work.
Yeah,
so
ready.
Now we can push out of these jobs.
You're ready.
And so that's why we have to always prepare before the promise, because when the promise comes, if you're not ready, it's going to expose you. If you're ready, it's going to promote you. And that, We can't afford to miss out on an opportunity.
This is so good. We ain't even talk about taxes.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
is so
it's therapy.
This is good. I'm just like, damn, this is the conversation I didn't know I needed. Like, but that's success though, bro.
They say success
is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah.
So all the time that you prepared, that helps you get, it helps you be ready for the when is your time. And it's like, that makes sense, because like, bro, I was fired. I had to. Real talk, bro. I don't think I'll talk about this much on camera, but it was a point when I moved to Atlanta, I had two jobs and working in tech. I probably was making like $350. I never made that much in my life, boy. That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's a lot of money.
Going from not making six figures to making $350 in the corporate sector. And then my podcast was going crazy at the time.
Yeah.
So maybe close to, bro, that's insane.
Yeah, that's insane.
To losing both of my jobs, having to do the podcast.
Getting to do the podcast.
Facts. Getting to do the podcast, that was one of the scariest moment of my life, bro. Because when you get it, when you make a certain money after not seeing it, my worst fear was losing it and not knowing how I'm gonna get it back.
Yep.
That was like my biggest fear. And it was like God knew that and he exposed it. He was like, okay, cool, let me show you.
God puts the best things in life right on the other side of your biggest fears, because he wants to see if you're gonna let faith overcome the fear. You know what I'm saying? So he's gonna like put like, okay, this life you wanted is right on the other side of this decision. Are you gonna let your faith overcome your fear, or are you gonna let your fear overcome your faith?
This is crazy, bro.
And I'm only able to speak on this because I went through it time and time again. Like since we're being transparent, like me and my business partner coming together was really scary for me, because I already have a business that was doing well. He already has a business that's doing well. We have to come together and now split everything. That's real talk. That's scary. You know what I'm saying?
I can imagine.
So I'm talking to God like, yo, like, was this the right decision? Like, am I? And like, me and him talk about it all the time. Like, yo, like, it's just scary. And so like, the only reason I'm able to speak on it eloquently is because I've went through it time and time and time again. And the more you go through it and you start to recognize when it's happening, you get less scared. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm like, okay, well, like, I'm nervous, but it's that feeling again. I know I'm moving in the right direction. I might be uncomfortable, but I know I'm moving in the right direction. We good.
This is fire, bro. This is so good, bro.
Yeah.
Yo, did you have a... You was at an event not too long ago. Was that your event?
That was our event. Yeah. And that was the sign that guys like, yep, you're doing the right thing. I'm like, yes.
Hold up, bro. Wait, that was like an event for entrepreneurs. It was like an award show.
So it's the Grammys for Black Wealth, the Melanin Money Awards. We highlighted
everybody,
all the top entrepreneurs in the space that won their category, and everybody showed up from. Neo was there, Trap was there,
Aristotle,
all the top entrepreneurs in the space were there, and we were highlighting them for their achievements. And it was one of the biggest events we've ever thrown, the most expensive event we've ever thrown, but it was confirmation that, like, this is something we want to do. Like, and now it's getting bigger than we ever could have expected it. But that was a scary moment, bro. We spent a lot of money on that event, and it was like, we don't know if it's going to work. And we was fearful, but we said, this is something we said we're going to do, so we're going to do it. And then the aftermath was absolutely insane. So it was one of them moments again, faith over fear, and it really worked out.
Did you make your money back?
And then some. And we got, it's not about the money. It's about the relationship and the standard that we set for Black excellence was more than anything that we could have imagined. And Trap said it when he was on stage. He received Stock Market Expert of the Year, which he deserved. And the two things I loved about that moment, one, him and Aristotle are topping their game, and they both congratulated each other on the awards that each other received as a showing of collaboration over competition. Mm. That was number one. Number two, Trap said, he said, everybody needs to be here. He said, we out here running to the, no disrespect to BET. He said, we out here running to the BET Awards, but like we the people that shift the culture for when it comes to financial literacy and education and entrepreneurship, we the people that do this. And like, to be real, he was like, we make more money than them anyway. Mm. And it was just to see the space adopt an idea that we thought was going to be good. That was everything we needed.
I asked you, did you make your money back? Because I was going to go for the impact, because like far as that, I seen it. I'm like,
yeah,
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm like, damn, bro, I don't never get invited to none of the good shit. I ain't gonna lie, but that's
how you
know.
I promise you invited.
But that's how you know when something is good. When you have that feeling of being left out.
Yeah.
And that's how I was like, oh yeah. But I was just curious, if you did or didn't make the money back, that impact is important. And it's just as good as money. Mm-hmm. But I was wondering, like, how much do, as somebody that's putting an event together like that, how much are you looking at the impact versus the return on investment as far as money-wise?
Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the good lessons I can give your audience is there are brand decisions and there are business decisions, right? That was a brand decision.
It was good, though.
Yeah, it was great brand decision. Yeah, shout out to that. That was not my idea, bro. That's my partner's idea. I give him all the credit. I was like, bro, you sure? Yeah, that was a brand decision, right? But you need to make a lot of good business decisions first before you're able to make a brand decision. That was a $400,000 event. Mm. We can't make that brand decision without making really, really, really good business decisions. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So there are two different things. I think that like early on entrepreneurship, focus on business decisions. And then you can make incremental brand decisions over time, right? Because there's a difference between branding and marketing, as well as on the conversation. But yeah, that was a branding decision. And some branding decisions will make you more money than business decisions will, but it's going to take time. Mm. You have to be patient.
This is good, bro.
Yeah, this is
great. You gotta do it. We gotta do this again.
Yeah. We'll definitely do another.
Let me ask you. I'm sorry. Before you get out of here.
Yeah.
You doing InvestFest?
I am doing InvestFest. That's why I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, bro. Like, I was just curious to when it comes to like this entrepreneurship space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it's like podcasting, because like we see like podcasting is going to be the future, right? I'm wondering, like, where do you see it in 5-10 years?
Podcasting?
No, like entrepreneurship.
Oh, dude, we're still on the brink of it. Like, we're still on the brink of it.
Are we talking African-American or?
African-Americans specifically, okay. Right? And here's the thing, like, there will be a place for jobs and there will be a place for businesses, right? Like, all the business does is create more jobs. I have 30 employees right now, which is crazy to say out loud, right? But I think as a culture, we are on the brink of entrepreneurship in the Black community. And I think it's going to be a beautiful thing as it evolves, as things become easier with AI, as people, like, dude, like more money is going towards podcast and social media influencers than going towards radio advertising. In a few years, we are going to have all the power. People are not going to see. I saw an interview the other day. There were more people watching somebody's live stream than they were watching CNN.
Wow.
Over an 8-hour period.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. So I personally think that we're on the brink of it. I think that there's still more to obtain. I think there's still more to learn. I'm excited about what's to come. And it's just, you know, it's fun. Man, entrepreneurship for me is a way to impact lives, a way for me to, become who I'm supposed to be. And it's a game, and I'm playing to win.
Carter, last question, I promise, bro. Yeah. I promise, bro. Yeah. My brain is just going there. Give us some game. You talked about a couple times how spending money fourth quarter, December 31st is probably smart because you get that.
Yeah.
You spend money for next year.
Yeah.
And you get it written off for this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me some entrepreneurship / podcast game for my independent guys out there. I've witnessed this a little bit where I was able to get big checks for the up and coming year at the end of the year I was in.
Yeah.
How do we go? What's the smartest way to go about advertising dollars? If I'm talking to entrepreneurs, I'm talking to businesses in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So I think one of the best strategies that I can give, especially I think somebody in the particular space of like solo and trying to build up, is at the end of the year, prepay expenses and postpone revenue. Mm. What I mean by that is, if you know you have to upgrade your studio and buy new cameras, buy new equipment, whatever, in December, load those expenses on a credit card in December. Because you might not need to spend, you might not need the equipment for January, February, March, but just pay for it in December because you're going to need it next year anyway. And then that way, let's say you spend an extra $50,000 on, I'm going to use that as a number. Let's say you spend $50,000 on all this equipment and stuff that you know you're going to need for next year and you buy it in December. And now you're going to be able to recognize that write-off in December, even though you didn't really need to spend the money until January, February, and March. So we're front-loading expenses on a, if you can, 0% interest credit card, because we want to capture that tax deduction today, even though it's not for next year, right? And then if you want to double down on this, any money that's going to be paid out. So I would try to like get as many contracts as possible at the end of the year, but I would tell them, pay me on January 1st. Because they pay you in December, you got to pay taxes on that money in 2 months. But they pay you in January, you got to pay taxes on that money for 13 months.
See, I was looking at it opposite. So I'm looking at it the way I shouldn't be looking at it. As an entrepreneur trying to get advertising dollars, I'm like, yo, December is a perfect month to reach out to entrepreneurs for I don't know, if they trying to do advertising on my podcast. I reach out to them in December. I can get a fat check in December for next year.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to have to pay the taxes.
But it's a double-sided coin. And again, remember, first rule of business, we're in here to make money.
Right.
Period. Right? So if I'm you, I would do it this way. You're right. I would hit up as many entrepreneurs as I can to set up contracts for next year and have them pay you this year. But hey,
pay me for the year.
Pay me for the year. Pay me right now.
Yeah.
You pay me $10,000 for advertising for next year. you get a $10,000 write-off, right? And then now you get the influx of money. But what you also need to do, you also need to be doing what I said as well, prepaying all the expenses for next year in December at that same time. So you might get $60,000 worth of checks, but you also might spend $60,000 on a car for all your expenses next year. So now you've got money, but you wiped it out.
That's smart. Shit, you can get that bag. You could pay your rent for the entire year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's something we do. Like, we know when clients are hiring us, like, yo, if you just pay for the entire year right now, you get a write-off for that this year. Like, so now our minimum investment is $30,000 if they want to hire us. So just pay us $30,000 this year, and you're at a 37% tax rate. Just by paying us this year for next year's service, you're going to save $11,000 in taxes just by doing that.
And you think that's, I think that's a smart thing. Why don't people been think of this? Like, cause me, I'm podcast independent.
Yeah.
And this is something that I've learned again, because I've had experience getting advertisements and yeah. they paid me at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I learned why. And, but I'm like, bro, more people need to like go out in December. But I feel like a lot of people don't be wanting to spend that money.
When if you're tax savvy and you let them know spending the money before the end of the year is going to help them save money, that's a sales tactic. We use that all the time. Like you can pay us in January or you can pay us now. And we will take the money. And then what we're also doing, we're like, all right, who can we pay now for next year as well? And so it's just like a cycle of, you know what I'm saying? So we're getting more money, but we're also prepaying stuff for next year. So it's evening out.
Wow. That's fire, bro. I appreciate you so much, man. Yeah. For the people that don't know, let them know how to follow you, how they can support you, what you got going on, all that.
Yeah. So Cofield underscore advisor on all social media media channels except YouTube is Melanin Money. And I'll give you the links to anything that we're doing that we want to promote on the show.
What you got? Is you promoting something right now?
Yeah, well, we are. So the end of the year is coming, as we talked about, and we want to help entrepreneurs minimize their taxes during tax saving season, right? Which is the last half of the year. So we do this 5-day training called the Multiply Your Money Challenge, where we teach people how to save $50,000 in taxes. We also teach them how to take that money that they're saving and invest it for next year. Because the more, what people don't know is the more you invest, the less you pay the IRS. There are ways for you to invest more money and save on taxes at the same time. So we teach them how to save the money on taxes. That extra $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 we help them save, then we teach them how to invest it.
Like real estate, cars, things like that, right?
Well, no, we teach them specifically stock market stuff.
Okay. Oh,
so,
wow.
So if we help you save the money on taxes, now you got more money to start investing. Because people ask, well, where do I find the money to start investing? Stop giving the money to the government, right? So we teach them how to save money on taxes first, and then we teach them how to take that money and start investing it. So it's a 5-day training, and I'll add the link to your show notes as well.
I'm going to let you go. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Do you... Because when you talk about the stock market, do you partner with people like Trapp and like Aristotle?
So my partner is actually a financial advisor.
Okay.
And he's a licensed investment wealth manager.
Okay. Because I be wondering, like, why don't you, we all just work together?
Yeah, that's all in the works. Trust me, that's all in the works. But there's a difference between short-term investing and long-term investing. We focus more on long-term. They're more short-term.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
I appreciate you again, brother. For real, sir. Man. This is great. Oh, man. My guy, Carter Cofield, Mr. J Hill, J Hill Podcast is a wrap. We out.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop early. Save big. All month long during Black Friday buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.